I think because it's so hard for the mind to comprehend, like, the concept that every sin you committed and every sin you're going to commit was all paid for 2,000 years ago on the cross. I remember when I was little, my dad used to say, okay, by his stripes, and I'd repeat, by his stripes, I was healed. And I'd say, I was healed. In my mind, I said, was? And he's like, yes, you were. Like, I can comprehend it now, but I remember being young and, like, it was so hard for my mind to comprehend, what do you mean I was healed? By his stripes, I was healed? Like, what? I just could not wrap my mind around it. But going back to the sin, it's hard for us physically. That's why the Bible says renew your mind, because it's hard for us to comprehend that. What do you mean the sin I'm going to commit is already paid for? Like, it's just insane what Christ did. He removed the problem of sin. That doesn't make sin okay. You still have physical, like, consequences of your sin here on earth, but it doesn't separate you from God anymore. You can always run to him whenever you need to, right after you sin, right? It says, like, his grace abounds.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Like, it goes against your natural way of thinking. So that's why you have to renew your mind to, like, understand that goodness of God.
It reminds me, we are called to live. It all ties into this. We are all called to live. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. This all leans towards us leaning on faith that I have been forgiven.
Yeah.
My faith is I have been forgiven. Jesus has died. What do you mean? I didn't see Jesus die. We are called to live by the unseen. So now this process of renewing the mind is renewing to your mind to live to the unseen and to what God says about you. Because everything he said about you is true. It's in this word is true, but we have to recalibrate, so to say, our mind to understand that, okay, my true being, yes, I'm in a physical body, but I am first a spirit, and I am seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, and that's exactly why the Bible tells us to that the power of our words and what mm-hmm. we're speaking, because the situation around you really doesn't matter. That's a physical situation that needs a spiritual solution to solve it. That's what people run into issues, because they want to fix spiritual issues with physical responses. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah,
but it's not. And I think honestly, like we got some questions from a few people, and one of the questions we got, I don't know, Destiny, if you want to go into the question a little more, but kind of leads into kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we can just discuss from there, because it's a really good question that a lot of people have, especially people who are. Yeah, you could be 10 years in church and still have this question, because what's very interesting, at least to me, is we have faith for in my opinion, one of the more powerful things in life, which is salvation
right?
We have faith for that, but then we lose it for like everything else.
Yeah,
for some
that's
reason.
So true. Yeah,
faith that it's crazy. Faith, if you think about it, we have faith that when Christ comes, we'll disappear in the blink of an eye, and our bodies will be transformed in the sky, and we'll be with Christ. Like, you know how crazy that is to believe?
That's true. And sorry to cut you off, but no, people always talk about that too on social media. They have everyone on social media has such faith for the resurrection, for Jesus coming. The sky is going to be open like a curtain, and everyone's going to see Jesus coming down. But those same people lose their faith when it comes to them being forgiven, them leaning on the Father. That I no longer live, but Christ died in me. Takes faith.
Forgiveness, faith for healing,
faith that sin you committed was already washed in the blood.
Exactly. For all these different things that, you know, Jesus promised, you know, blessed to be a blessing, all the seeds of Abraham, all these crazy things you can't believe, but you can believe, in my opinion, what's crazier, that I'm going to heaven and I'm going to be in heaven with God and Jesus. After I die,
a new body,
in a resurrected body, but you can't believe for your physical body to be healed.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
You have a question up.
So we're taking questions. This one says, when meditating on the word, how long does it take to see transformation in your life? 1 week.
Okay. 24 hours. Well, since you asked the question, right? Whoever you are. Exactly 2 days, 3 hours, and 4 minutes. No, honestly, it's a really good question, because the Bible tells us, renew our minds, meditate on the word of God. And people get scared of the word meditating, because they're like, oh, that's like, you know, what People in Buddhism do, that's what all do, that's what the monks do, that's what this and that. Meditation, first and foremost, came from God. A lot of other religions, a lot of people try taking what is good and meant that Jesus called us to do and making it seem negative, making it seem demonic, for lack of a better word, making it seem just not God's thing anymore. Yeah. But meditation, the Bible tells us, meditate on the word day and night, right?
Yep.
Meditate on the word day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from your, but everything you say, everything you do will be truth when you meditate on the word day and night. So meditation isn't a bad thing. The question says, I'm meditating on it. When am I going to see the breakthrough?
Yeah.
Right? When am I going to see God's promises in my life? All that comes down to, and at least what I've learned and what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me over past several years, is it always takes the actions of a man to allow God's power to move on this earth, right?
Yeah.
We go back to the Old Testament. He wanted to save the Israelites out of Egypt, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed someone who would allow his power to flow through him. Moses, right? He needs to use a man or a woman in order to display his power in a magnificent way here on this earth. He had to send Jesus down at one point because he just could, like, he needed a way to bring the Holy Spirit back in here and bring man back to their rightful place, which is, you know, the head and the ruler of the earth. So all that being said, in order to get to that point, it requires us to do something. And then, I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but when I hear that, you're like, oh, us, I need to do something. Didn't God do everything? It requires physical work from us. Yeah, grace is here. Grace is awesome. It covers your sins. But the Bible says faith without works or corresponding action, if you go into the actual root meaning of it, faith without corresponding action is dead. So meditation without corresponding action isn't going to bring fruits.
Like the works, like you can meditate all you want day and night, and then when opportunities come in your life to put to practice what it is you were meditating on and what the word was saying, and you don't even act on them, like the opportunities are right in front of you to put to practice what you know, what you have learned, right? What you renewed your mind to, and you don't do it, you just wiped all your meditation out the window, right? Because like, how long, the question said, like, how long does it take to start seeing the results, transformation in your life? I would say, from my personal experience, when you just start dying to yourself completely, like dying to everything your flesh wants, dying to the uncomfortability, is that even a word?
The comfort zone.
Right? Yeah, dying to your comfort zone, dying to your initial like flesh reaction to things.
Instinct.
Dying to your desires, your dreams. Like that may sound depressing, but it's not. I promise you it's not. When you do that and lay everything aside and say, God, whatever, it's your way, right? And I'm going to surrender to it completely, not just in meditation, but now physically out when I'm able to practice it. Man, he fills you with new dreams. He dreams that you never thought, things you never thought you love them, right? He gives you this life that's so much better. And I think that's when you start to see the transformation, is when you start, if I had to like put it in a nutshell, it'd be dying to your flesh basically, right? What would you say?
No, exactly. It's dying to your flesh. And I mean, we've discussed it at our church a little bit. I'm not sure for those of you listening, if you've heard this, but like when you're meditating on something, you need to have that mind map of where, if it's a sin you keep repeating, why it keeps happening. Cause you're meditating on the word that, you know, whatever it is, anger, like you meditate, you find Psalms, you find Proverbs about, you know, being angry, the angry man, you know, he's going to cause issues, pride comes before a fall, all these different things. You can find verses always to meditate on for any issue you're having. But if you're not tracking back, in my opinion, the change can happen almost immediately.
Yeah.
If you want it to, if you will allow it, right? If you'll, as the Bible says, let this mind be in you, let this mind of Christ, let this mind be in you. The Bible tells us you have to allow that mind of Christ, that renewing of the mind, to be in you. At the end of the day, like Destiny said, it's going to require a little bit of what you think at the time is sacrifice, but it really isn't.
Yeah.
If we look at the story of Abraham and Isaac, and God telling Abraham, go sacrifice your one and only mm-hmm. son, right? Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, like, why is God telling me? I feel in my spirit that God's telling me to do this, but God gave me that. So why is he telling me to get rid of that if he gave it to me? God gave Abraham Isaac, mm-hmm. but he still asked him to go up to the mountain and go sacrifice your one and only mm-hmm. son, right?
Yeah.
An image, as we know, the Old Testament is an image of the New Testament, an image of God sacrificing his one and only son, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But if you guys know the story, he goes to sacrifice him. Obviously, God stops him, but he was looking at his heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The heart of repentance, the heart of someone who has faith, right? That mm-hmm. knows that, God, you may have given this to me, but as soon as you give it to me, I can also give it back immediately because mm-hmm. it's not what you gave me that makes me want to follow you.
Yeah.
It's you that makes mm-hmm. me want to follow you.
Yeah.
And then once that happened, you guys know, Father Abraham, you know, mm-hmm. multiple sons, generation, multiple yeah. children, just mm-hmm. blessed to be a blessing, just a blessed man mm-hmm. because of one act. So
obedience. Yeah.
One act of obedience. So what is, you have to ask yourself, what's that thing in my life mm-hmm. that's holding me back yeah. that I'm so in love with that maybe even God gave it to you, mm-hmm. but you haven't sacrificed it mm-hmm. to the point where now God can turn it and multiply it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I think like how you said, once you give God all of your desires that you think you want, that you so want, and you say, you know what, Jesus, my life is yours, my desires. But God's heart is, he's such a good God that those desires of your heart, once he sees that you truly surrendered and are willing to give up your life for his life, he may give you one of those desires you were fighting so strong for. He might just bless you with it because mm-hmm. that's how good he is.
And make it bigger than you ever yeah, imagined. And, yeah. Like whatever the dream was. That was mm-hmm. small. You'll realize it was so small in comparison to what he gave yeah. you. I'll say too, though, what ties into it too is like surrendering. I know people are just very fearful. So it's like your fear is holding you back. The fear of, how do I word this? Like every secret, I would say, okay, why is nothing transforming in my life? Because you're still keeping these like secret places in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I mean like dark secrets, whatever it is, stuff that happened to you that you don't want to say, like you think you've dealt with it because time has gone by, mm-hmm. but really it's just hidden, packed away under a rug somewhere deep yeah. in your heart. You want transformation, you're gonna have to dig that up yeah. and bring it to light, mm-hmm. right? The word says in 2 Corinthians, confess all hidden things of shame, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it says something else great after that, right? So that you don't distort the word. Yeah. I'd have to read it, but it's a great verse. 2 Corinthians
somewhere
4:2 or something. And I'd say that's a big one. Cause I know some people who do that, they do kill their flesh. Mm-hmm. They are doing that stuff and they're still struggling to see that like next level, that transformation. And I would say from what I've learned from experience, they're not renouncing the hidden things of shame. They're not mm-hmm. bringing up that secret stuff in their heart. Mm-hmm. The secret thing that happened to them, the secret, hate they have for mm-hmm. someone, all whatever it is, all your little secrets you have mm-hmm. that you think you're keeping yourself safe by never touching them mm-hmm. again. Oh, I'm fine. Like, look, I'm living fine. Cause I kind of brushed it under the rug 20 years ago, mm-hmm. but really you're not. Like that's yeah. what's holding you back big time. But I understand it. It is fearful to bring it up again and but it can be uncomfortable, but I mm-hmm. promise when you dig up all that ugly stuff, it's mm-hmm. uncomfortable in the moment. Right. But the devil plays it. He makes it seem like a bigger deal in your head. Because once you bring it all up, like you are so free mm-hmm. after that. Like it has no hold on you anymore. Yeah. So I think it's that fear that holds people back from transformation. The fear of yeah. digging up the ugly.
Like you said, they think, oh, I put it away so I'm okay. But yeah, the word of God tells us that yeah. you can't trust your own heart. Because you think that it's okay. But mm-hmm. no, your own heart is deceiving you. Mm-hmm. But and then why they don't want to give it up, because like you said, that fear.
It's scary, yeah. I'll admit. It's scary.
It is scary. From experience, we've gone through stuff and we have to give it to God. It is scary. But coming back to what? Faith, God, I trust you. I'm going to open my heart completely to you because I know you're mm-hmm. the only one.
And I will say it's never as scary as you think it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah,
devil completely. Makes it seem like it's so much scarier.
It's like nothing.
It's going to be so much worse. The scenario in your life is going to be so much worse if it comes up or if you tell people or if you deal mm-hmm. with that. Hurt yeah. from the past, he makes you think it's going to be such a yeah. big yeah. deal. And then you deal with it and you're like, why didn't I do this the day after it happened? Like yeah. it feels so freeing. He makes it, I would tell people, keep that in mind. Like the devil makes it seem like such a big deal.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that, people who talk to me, like my line is, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm always like, trust me. Like you're going to look back at this and realize yeah. it was not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Like So that I think that's good to think about. When you have God, nothing is that big a deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the devil's always going to make it seem like it's a bigger deal because his goal, you accepted Jesus already. So at that point, his goal shifts. You're a believer, his goal is to make sure you never know the word of God. Mm-hmm. Make sure you never know that Jesus is king and that you never, you know, mm-hmm. say the prayer you're supposed to say to, you know, that's going to bring you to heaven that we all have so much faith in. But once you've done that, his goal now is to, hey, you just confessed that Jesus is king. I'm going to make you look dumb so I can make God look dumb. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's always going to aim to do. He's always going to aim to limit you. Yep. And they're going to say, oh, you're a Christian, but you're getting sick and you're dying from cancer. You're mm-hmm. dying from this. That's a whole other topic from a different day, for a different day. We can get into a big discussion about that. But the devil's always going to try ending your life sooner so you can't impact the people you were meant to impact, or making your life so depressing, for lack of a better word, that like no one's gonna want to learn anything from you or get impacted by you because you say you're a believer but you're dealing with the same thing that everyone in the world's dealing with. You go through the same struggles everyone in the world is dealing with. Mm-hmm. Yet you say you follow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. You say make it make sense, but it doesn't make sense because that's what the devil's trying to do, not make it make sense.
Yeah.
And then going back to what you guys were saying about those sins and those desires, dying to them. I've been seeing a lot of TikToks recently about people. They're making jokes about it, but they're like, oh, when that person gives their testimony and they're giving a testimony and they keep talking about it, like they still love what they got rid of. they're like, I would love to be out. Like I'm here at the church right now, but you don't think I'd love to be out drinking again? Like I can go out and drink so like close. Crazy.
On TikTok?
Yeah. But it's joke ones, but people are actually like that. Mm-hmm. They think they're delivered, but if that desire is still there, then deliverance never happened because God's going to completely take that desire away.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be gone. You're going to look at that and be like, that is disgusting. Yeah. And you look at it like,
and it doesn't even pull you anymore.
At all.
No pull. The spiritual pull is gone. The fruit of the repentance is there mm-hmm. to the point where that's like you look back and you're like, dude, I wasted 10 years doing that. Yeah. That's what I wasted 10 years on. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I think people are scared of that to because they think they love it so much. They think they love something of the world so much, and they think, how can I give that up and not, like, my life will be so boring. Like, I love this. But it's just deception. Like, you think you love it. You don't even know what love is, really. Yeah. And then when you encounter it, you think back, like, I did not love that. So I would, if they're giving a testimony, I know it's like jokes. I've seen them too. And they still have that love for it. They're not free from it because... Mm-hmm. It's not, first of all, it's not a real love for it. And God gets rid of that. You don't have that desire. You don't have that pull to it anymore. You're free. That's the whole point of you being free. Mm-hmm. So,
or like how you always say, they haven't been truly saved.
Yeah. Do I always say that?
truly you do saved. Always say that,
I say, like when, cause I know people get shocked, like someone was saved and then now they totally neglect.
It's based on the once saved, always saved debate.
They like, you love the Lord and now you're in the world, like mm-hmm. living against him and like outwardly saying you don't believe in God. I always say, I don't think they ever knew the love of God fully. Had a deep,
the true love of God.
Yeah. Once you have an encounter with that, how could you then not believe it?
Yeah.
There's just no way. Like it transforms you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, great question. Whoever asked that question.
Yeah.
That
was amazing question. We're going to be taking questions.
Yeah.
I like people's questions.
So if you guys want to submit your questions, feel free. Comment wherever we post this. It's going to be on a couple of different platforms. So put a comment down with your questions on if we might do a story poll for our local church or on this account as well. Wherever we post this, we'll have some questions for you guys to do. And we'd like to at least answer one to two of you guys' questions weekly or however often we do this, just to make sure we get the voice that you guys have.
Yeah.
Because we want to be giving you guys the truth. We want to make sure you guys know the truth. So anything you're struggling with, this is the first step. We could talk about bringing it to light. If you can't even ask the question here, mm-hmm. then it's going to be, it's not going to be anonymous. You post it, we're going to see who posts it. Not about that.
Yeah.
It's about saying that you're struggling with something and getting the answer. Being to the point where you're fed up with not knowing mm-hmm. why this keeps happening, why you're struggling with this. Imagine if this person never asked this question and we never got to this point. If this question helped you in any way, that mm-hmm. person asking that question opened up this conversation for us to bring, you know, wisdom and truth to others who might be struggling with that, mm-hmm. that same exact thing. I've been meditating for so long, but no change, mm-hmm. no breakthrough. I've been in church 40 years, no change, no yeah. breakthrough. We'll get into all these topics mm-hmm. later. We'll dive into this even more. So just keep the questions coming. We'll try to discuss and bring God's word to everything we talk about, because it's not just us talking. We need to make sure everything is founded and has a foundation yeah. of scripture.
Backed up by the word.
Backed up by the word. Yeah. All right. But thank you guys, and we'll see you all next week.
Blessings.